Prime Minister of Cyberspace? Why not call yourself the Grand Poobah of the Global Data Network? It's more dignified, sounds cooler, and it'll get you just as far. Will had the sleeping spot next to him, up in the cafeteria, with Van on the other side. The room smelled like a dingleberry. 25 sysadmins who hadn't washed in at least a day, all crammed into the same room. For some of them, it had been much, much longer than a day. "Shut up, Will," Van said. "You wanted to try to knock the internet offline." "Correction. I want to knock the internet offline. Present tense." Felix cracked one eye. He was so tired, it was like lifting weights. "Look, Sario, if you don't like my platform, put one of your own forward. There are plenty of people who think I'm full of shit, and I respect them for that, since they're all running opposite me or backing someone who is. That's your choice. What's not on the menu is nagging and complaining. Bedtime now, or get up and post your platform." Sario sat up slowly, unrolling the jacket he had been using for a pillow and putting it on. "Screw you guys. I'm out of here." "I thought he'd never leave," Felix said and turned over, lying awake a long time, thinking about the election. There were other people in the running. Some of them weren't even sysadmins. A U.S. senator on retreat at his summer place in Wyoming had generator power and a satellite phone. Somehow he'd found the right news group and thrown his hat into the ring. Some anarchist hackers in Italy strafed the group all night long, posting broken English screeds about the political bankruptcy of governance in the New World. Felix looked at their net block and determined that they were probably holed up in a small interaction design institute near Turin. Italy had been hit very bad, but out in the small town, this cell of anarchists had taken up residence. A surprising number were running on a platform of shutting down the internet. Felix had his doubts about whether this was even possible, but he thought he understood the impulse to finish the work and the world. Why not? He fell asleep thinking about the logistics of shutting down the internet and dreamed bad dreams in which he was the network's sole defender. He woke to a papery, itchy sound. He rolled over and saw that Van was sitting up, his jacket balled up in his lap, vigorously scratching his skinny arms. They'd gone the color of corned beef and had a scaly look. In the light streaming through the cafeteria windows, skin motes floated and danced in great clouds. "What are you doing?" Felix sat up. Watching Van's fingernails rip into his skin made him itch in sympathy. It had been 3 days since he'd last washed his hair, and his scalp sometimes felt like there were little egg-laying insects picking their way through it. He'd adjusted his glasses the night before and had touched the back of his ears. His finger came away shining with thick sebum. He got blackheads in the backs of his ears when he didn't shower for a couple of days, and sometimes gigantic, deep boils that Kelly finally popped with sick relish. "Scratching," Van said. He went to work on his head, sending a cloud of dandruff crud into the sky, there to join the scurf that he'd already eliminated from his extremities. "Christ, I itch all over." Felix took Mayor McCheese from Van's backpack and plugged it into one of the Ethernet cables that snaked all over the floor. He Googled everything he could think of that could be related to this. Itchy yielded 40,600,000 links. He tried compound queries and got slightly more discriminating links. "I think it's stress-related eczema," Felix said finally. "I don't get eczema," Van said. Felix showed him some lurid photos of red, angry skin flaked with white. "Stress-related eczema," he said, reading the caption. Van examined his arms. "I have eczema," he said. "Says here to keep it moisturized and to try cortisone cream. You might try the first aid kit in the second floor toilets. I think I saw some there." Like all of the sysadmins, Felix had had a bit of a rummage around the offices, bathrooms, kitchen, and storerooms, squirreling away a roll of toilet paper in his shoulder bag along with 3 or 4 power bars. They were sharing out the food in the caf by unspoken agreement, every sysadmin watching every other for signs of gluttony and hoarding. All were convinced that there was hoarding and gluttony going on out of eyeshot, because all were guilty of it themselves when no one else was watching. Van got up, and when his face hove into the light, Felix saw how puffed his eyes were. "I'll post to the mailing list for some antihistamine," Felix said. There had been 4 mailing lists and 3 wikis for the survivors in the building within hours of the first meeting's close, and in the intervening days they'd settled on just 1. Felix was still on a little mailing list with 5 of his most trusted friends, 2 of whom were trapped in cages in other countries. He suspected that the rest of the sysadmins were doing the same. Van stumbled off.
"Good luck on the elections," he said, patting Felix on the shoulder.
Felix stood and paced, stopping to stare out the grubby windows. The fires still burned in Toronto, more than before. He tried to find mailing lists or blogs that Torontonians were posting to, but the only ones he'd found were being run by other geeks in other data centers. It was possible, likely even, that there were survivors out there who had more pressing priorities than posting to the internet. His home phone still worked about half the time, but he'd stopped calling it after the second day, when hearing Kelly's voice on the voicemail for the 50th time had made him cry in the middle of a planning meeting. He wasn't the only one. Election day. Time to face the music. "Are you nervous?"
"Nope,"
Felix typed. "I don't much care if I win, to be honest. I'm just glad we're doing this. The alternative was sitting around with our thumbs up our ass, waiting for someone to crack up and open the door." The cursor hung. Queen Kong was very high latency as she bossed her gang of Googleoids around the Googleplex, doing everything she could to keep her data center online. 3 of the offshore cages had gone offline, and 2 of their 6 redundant network links were smoked. Lucky for her, queries per second were way down.
"There's still China," she typed.
Queen Kong had a big board with a map of the world colored in Google queries per second and could do magic with it, showing the drop-off over time in colorful charts. She'd uploaded lots of video clips showing how the plague and the bombs had swept the world. The initial upswell of queries from people wanting to find out what was going on, then the grim, precipitous shelving off as the plagues took hold. "China's still running about 90% nominal." Felix shook his head. "You can't think that they're responsible."
"No."
She typed, but then she started to key something and then stopped.
"No, of course not. I believe the Popovich hypothesis. This is a bunch of assholes all using the rest for cover. But China put them down harder and faster than anyone else. Maybe we finally found a use for totalitarian states."
Felix couldn't resist. He typed, "You're lucky your boss can't see you type that. You guys were pretty enthusiastic participants in the Great Firewall of China."
"Wasn't my idea," she typed. "And my boss is dead. They're probably all dead. The whole Bay Area got hit hard. And then there was the quake."
They'd watched the USGS's automated data stream from the 6.9 that trashed Northern Cal from Gilroy to Sebastopol. Some webcams revealed the scope of the damage. Gas main explosions, seismically retrofitted buildings crumpling like piles of children's blocks after a good kicking. The Googleplex, floating on a series of gigantic steel springs, had shook like a plate full of jello. But the racks had stayed in place, and the worst injury they'd had was a badly bruised eye on a sysadmin who'd caught a flying cable crimper in the face.
"Sorry, I forgot."
"It's okay. We all lost people, right?"
"Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not worried about the election. Whoever wins, at least we're doing something."
"Not if they vote for one of the fuckrags."
Fuckrag was the epithet that some of the sysadmins were using to describe the contingent that wanted to shut down the internet. Queen Kong had coined it. Apparently it had started life as a catch-all term to describe the clueless IT managers that she'd chewed up through her career.
"They won't. They're just tired and sad is all. Your endorsement will carry the day."
The Googloids were one of the largest and most powerful blocks left behind, along with the satellite uplink crews and the remaining transoceanic crews. Queen Kong's endorsement had come as a surprise, and he'd sent her an email that she'd replied to tersely, "Can't have the fuckrags in charge." "GTG," she typed, and then her connection dropped. He fired up a browser and called up Google.com. The browser timed out. He hit reload, and then again, and then the Google front page came back up. Whatever had hit Queen Kong's workplace, power failure, worms, another quake, she had fixed it. He snorted when he saw that they'd replaced the O's in the Google logo with little planet Earths with mushroom clouds rising from them.
"Got anything to eat?" Van said to him. It was mid-afternoon, not that time particularly past in the data center. Felix patted his pockets. They'd put a quartermaster in charge, but not before everyone had snagged some chow out of the machines. He'd had a dozen power bars and some apples. He'd taken a couple sandwiches, but had wisely eaten them first before they got stale.
"One power bar left," he said. He'd noticed a certain looseness in his waistline that morning, and had briefly relished it. Then he'd remembered Kelly's teasing about his weight, and he'd cried some. Then he'd eaten two power bars, leaving him with just one left.
"Oh," Van said. His face was hollower than ever, his shoulders sloping in on his toast-rack chest.
"Here," Felix said. "Vote Felix."
Van took the power bar from him and then put it down on the table.
"Okay. I want to give this back to you and say, no, I couldn't. But I'm fucking hungry, so I'm just going to take it and eat it, okay?"
"That's fine by me," Felix said. "Enjoy."
"How are the elections coming?" Van said once he'd licked the wrapper clean.
"Dunno," Felix said. "Haven't checked in a while."
He'd been winning by a slim margin a few hours before. Not having his laptop was a major handicap when it came to stuff like this. Up in the cages, there were a dozen more like him. Poor bastards who'd left the house on Dirtag without thinking to snag something Wi-Fi enabled.
"You're going to get smoked," Serio said, sliding in next to them.
He'd become famous in the center for never sleeping, for eavesdropping, for picking fights in RL that had the ill-considered heat of a Usenet flame war.
"The winner will be someone who understands a couple of fundamental facts."
He held up a fist, then ticked off his bullet points by raising a finger at a time.
"Point. The terrorists are using the internet to destroy the world, and we need to destroy the internet first. Point. Even if I'm wrong, the whole thing is a joke. We'll run out of generator fuel soon enough. Point. Or if we don't, it will be because the old world will be back and running and it won't give a crap about your new world. Point. We're going to run out of food before we run out of shit to argue about it or reasons not to go outside. We have the chance to do something to help the world recover. We can kill the net and cut it off as a tool for bad guys. Or we can rearrange some more deck chairs on the bridge of your personal Titanic in the service of some sweet dream about an independent cyberspace."
The thing was that Serio was right. They would be out of fuel in 2 days. Intermittent power from the grid had stretched their generator lifespan. And if you bought his hypothesis that the internet was primarily being used as a tool to organize more mayhem, shutting it down would be the right thing to do. But Felix's daughter and wife were dead. He didn't want to rebuild the old world. He wanted a new one. The old world was one that didn't have any place for him. Not anymore. Van scratched his raw, flaking skin. Puffs of dander and scruff swirled in the musty, greasy air. Serio curled a lip at him.
"That is disgusting. We're breathing recycled air, you know. Whatever leprosy is eating you, aerosolizing it into the air supply is pretty antisocial."
"You're the world's leading authority on antisocial, Serio," Van said. "Go away, or I'll multi-tool you to death." He stopped scratching and patted his sheathed multipliers like a gunslinger.
Yeah, I'm antisocial. I've got Asperger's, and I haven't taken my meds in 4 days. What's your fucking excuse?
Van scratched some more.
I'm sorry, he said. I didn't know.
Serio cracked up.
Oh, you are priceless. I bet that 3/4 of this bunch is borderline autistic. Me? I'm just an asshole. But I'm one who isn't afraid to tell the truth, and that makes me better than you, dickweed.
Fuck Rag, Felix said. Fuck off.
They had less than a day's worth of fuel when Felix was elected the first ever Prime Minister of Cyberspace. The first count was spoiled by a bot that spammed the voting process, and they lost a critical day while they added up the votes a second time. But by then, it was all seeming like more of a joke. Half the data centers had gone dark. Queen Kong's net maps of Google queries were looking grimmer and grimmer as more of the world went offline, though she maintained a leaderboard of new and rising queries, largely related to health, shelter, sanitation, and self-defense. Wormload slowed. Power was going off to many home PC users and staying off, so their compromised PCs were going dark. The backbones were still lit up and blinking, but the missives from those data centers were looking more and more desperate. Felix hadn't eaten in a day, and neither had anyone in a satellite Earth station of transoceanic head end. Water was running short, too. Popovich and Rosenbaum came and got him before he could do more than answer a few congratulatory messages and post a canned acceptance speech to the news groups.
"We're going to open the doors," Popovich said.
Like all of them, he'd lost weight and waxed scruffy and oily. His B.O. was like a cloud coming off trash bags behind a fish market on a sunny day. Felix was quite sure he smelled no better.
"You're going to go for a recce? Get more fuel? We can charter a working group for it. Great idea."
Rosenbaum shook his head sadly.
"We're going to find our families. Whatever is out there has burned itself out. Or it hasn't. Either way, there's no future in here."
"What about network maintenance?" Felix said, though he knew the answers. "Who'll keep the routers up?"
"We'll give you the root passwords to everything," Popovich said.
His hands were shaking and his eyes were bleary. Like many of the smokers stuck in the data center, he'd gone cold turkey this week. They'd run out of caffeine products 2 days earlier, too. The smokers had it rough.
"And I'll just stay here and keep everything online?"
"You and anyone else who cares anymore."
Felix knew that he'd squandered his opportunity. The election had seemed noble and brave, but in hindsight, all it had been was an excuse for infighting when they should have been figuring out what to do next. The problem was that there was nothing to do next.
"I can't make you stay," he said.
"Yeah, you can't."
Popovich turned on his heel and walked out. Rosenbaum watched him go. Then he gripped Felix's shoulder and squeezed it.
"Thank you, Felix. It was a beautiful dream. It still is. Maybe we'll find something to eat and some fuel and come back."
Rosenbaum had a sister whom he'd been in contact with over IM for the first days after the crisis broke. Then she'd stopped answering. The sysadmins were split among those who'd had a chance to say goodbye and those who hadn't. Each was sure the other had it better. They posted about it on the internal news group. They were still geeks, after all. And there was a little honor guard on the ground floor, geeks who watched them pass toward the double doors. They manipulated the keypads and the steel shutters lifted. Then the first set of doors opened. They stepped into the vestibule and pulled the doors shut behind them. The front doors opened. It was very bright and sunny outside, and apart from how empty it was, it looked very normal. Heartbreakingly so. The two took a tentative step out into the world. Then another. They turned to wave at the assembled masses. Then they both grabbed their throats and began to jerk and twitch, crumpling in a heap on the ground.
"Shit,"
was all Felix managed to choke out before they both dusted themselves off and stood up, laughing so hard they were clutching their sides. They waved once more and turned on their heels.
"Man, those guys are sick," Van said.
He scratched his arms, which had long, bloody scratches on them.
His clothes were so covered in scurf they looked like they'd been dusted with icing sugar.
I thought it was pretty funny, Felix said.
Christ, I'm hungry, Van said conversationally.
Lucky for you, we've got all the packets we can eat, Felix said.
You're too good to us grunts, Mr. President, Van said.
Prime Minister, he said.
And you're no grunt, you're the Deputy Prime Minister. You're my designated ribbon cutter and hander out of oversized novelty checks.
It buoyed both of their spirits. Watching Popovich and Rosenbaum go, it buoyed them up. Felix knew then that they'd all be going soon. That had been preordained by the fuel supply, but who wanted to wait for the fuel to run out anyway?
Half my crew split this morning, Queen Kong typed.
Google was holding up pretty good anyway, of course. The load on the servers was a lot lighter than it had been since the days when Google fit on a bunch of hand-built PCs under a desk at Stanford.
We're down to a quarter, Felix typed back.
It was only a day since Popovich and Rosenbaum left, but the traffic on the news groups had fallen down to near zero. He and Van hadn't much time to play Republic of Cyberspace. They'd been too busy learning the systems that Popovich had turned over to them, the big, big routers that had gone on acting as the major interchange for all the network backbones in Canada. Still, someone posted to the news groups every now and again, generally to say goodbye. The old flame wars about who would be PM or whether they would shut down the network or who took too much food, it was all gone. He reloaded the news group. There was a typical message.
Runaway processes on Solaris.
Hi. I'm just a lightweight MSCE, but I'm the only one awake here, and four of the D-slams just went down. Looks like there's some custom accounting code that's trying to figure out how much to bill our corporate customers, and it spawned 10,000 threads, and it's eating all the swap. I just want to kill it, but I can't seem to do that. Is there some magic invocation I need to do to get this goddamned Weenix box to kill this shit? I mean, it's not as if any of our customers are ever going to pay us again. I'd ask the guy who wrote this, but he's pretty much dead as far as anyone can work out.
He reloaded. There was a response. It was short, authoritative, and helpful. Just the sort of thing you almost never saw in a high-caliber news group when a noob posted a dumb question. The apocalypse had awoken the spirit of patient helpfulness in the world's PSYSOP community. Van shoulder surfed him.
Holy shit. Who knew he had it in him?
He looked at the message again. It was from Will Serio. He dropped into his chat window.
Serio, I thought you wanted the network dead. Why are you helping MSCEs fix their boxing?
Sheepish grin. Gee, Mr. PM, maybe I just can't bear to watch a computer suffer at the hands of an amateur.
He flipped to the channel with Queen Kong in it.
How long? Since I slept, 2 days. Until we run out of fuel, 3 days. Since we ran out of food, 2 days.
Jeez, I didn't sleep last night either. We're a little short-handed around here.
ASL? I'm Monica, and I live in Pasadena, and I'm bored with my homework. Would you like to download my pick?
The Trojan bots were all over IRC these days, jumping to every channel that had any traffic on it. Sometimes you caught 5 or 6 flirting with each other. It was pretty weird to watch a piece of malware try to con another instance of itself into downloading a Trojan. They both kicked the bot off the channel simultaneously. He had a script for it now. The spam hadn't even tailed off a little.
How come the spam isn't reducing? Half the goddamn data centers have gone dark.
Queen Kong paused a long time before typing. As had become automatic when she went high latency, he reloaded the Google homepage. Sure enough, it was down.
Serio, you got any food?
You won't miss a couple more meals, Your Excellency.
Van had gone back to Mayor McCheese, but he was in the same channel.
What a dick. You're looking pretty buff, though, dude.
Van didn't look so good. He looked like you could knock him over with a stiff breeze, and he had a phlegmy, weak quality to his speech. Hey, Kong, everything okay?
Everything's fine, just had to go kick some ass.
How's the traffic, Van?
Down 25% from this morning, he said.
There were a bunch of nodes whose connections routed through them. Presumably most of these were home or commercial customers in places where the power was still on and the phone company's COs were still alive. Every once in a while, Felix would wiretap the connections to see if he could find a person who had news of the wide world. Almost all of it was automated traffic, though. Network backups, status updates, spam. Lots of spam.
Spam's still up because the services that stop spam are failing faster than the services that create it. All the anti-worm stuff is centralized in a couple places. The bad stuff is on a million zombie computers. If only the losers had had the good sense to turn off their home PCs before keeling over or taking off.
At the rate we're going, we'll be routing nothing but spam by dinner time.
Van cleared his throat, a painful sound.
About that, he said. I think it's going to hit sooner than that. Felix, I don't think anyone would notice if we just walked away from here.
Felix looked at him, his skin the color of corned beef and streaked with long, angry scabs. His fingers trembled.
You drinking enough water?
Van nodded.
Every friggin' day, every 10 seconds. Anything to keep my belly full.
He pointed to a refilled Pepsi Max bottle full of water by his side.
Let's have a meeting, he said.
There had been 43 of them on D-Day. Now there were 15. 6 had responded to the call for a meeting by simply leaving. Everyone knew without having to be told what the meeting was about.
So that's it? You're going to let it all fall apart?
Sario was the only one with the energy left to get properly angry. He'd go angry to his grave. The veins on his throat and forehead stood out angrily. His fists shook angrily. All the other geeks went lids down at the sight of him, looking up in unison for once at the discussion, not keeping one eye on a chat log or a tailed service log.
Sario, you've got to be shitting me, Felix said. You wanted to pull the goddamn plug.
I wanted it to go clean, he shouted. I didn't want it to bleed out and keel over in little gasps and pukes forever. I wanted it to be an act of will by the global community of its caretakers. I wanted it to be an affirmative act by human hands, not entropy and bad code and worms winning out. Fuck that. That's just what's happened out there.
Up in the top floor cafeteria, there were windows all around, hardened and light-bending. And by custom, they were all blinds down. Now Sario ran around the room, yanking down the blinds. How the hell can he get the energy to run, Felix wondered. He could barely walk up the stairs to the meeting room. Harsh daylight flooded in. It was a fine, sunny day out there, but everywhere you looked across that commanding view of Toronto's skyline, there were rising plumes of smoke. The TD Tower, a gigantic black modernist glass brick, was gouting flame to the sky.
It's all falling apart, the way everything does.
Listen, if we leave the network to fall over slowly, parts of it will stay online for months, maybe years. And what will run on it? Malware, worms, spam, system processes, zone transfers, the things we use fall apart and require constant maintenance. The things we abandon don't get used and they last forever. We're going to leave the network behind like a lime pit filled with industrial waste. That will be our fucking legacy. The legacy of every keystroke you and I and anyone anywhere ever typed. You understand? We're going to leave it to die slow like a wounded dog instead of giving it one clean shot through the head.
Van scratched his cheeks. Then Felix saw that he was wiping away tears.
Sario, you're not wrong, but you're not right either, he said. Leaving it up to limp along is right. We're going to all be limping for a long time, and maybe it will be of some use to someone. If there's one packet being routed from any user to any other user anywhere in the world, it's doing its job. If you want a clean kill, you can do that, Felix said. I'm the PM and I say so. I'm giving you root. All of you. He turned to the whiteboard where the cafeteria workers used to scrawl the day's specials. Now it was covered with the remnants of heated technical debates that the sysadmins had engaged in over the days since the day. He scrubbed away a clean spot with his sleeve and began to write out long, complicated alphanumeric passwords salted with punctuation. Felix had a gift for remembering that kind of password. He doubted it would do him much good ever again. We're going, Kong. Fuel's almost out anyway.
Yeah, well, that's right then.
It was an honor, Mr. Prime Minister. You going to be okay?
I've commandeered a young sysadmin to see to my feminine needs, and we've found another cache of food that'll last us a couple weeks now that we're down to 15 admins. I'm in hog heaven, pal.
You're amazing, Queen Kong, seriously. Don't be a hero, though. When you need to go, go. There's got to be something out there.
Be safe, Felix. Seriously, by the way, did I tell you queries are up in Romania? Maybe they're getting back on their feet.
Really?
Yeah, really. We're hard to kill. Like fucking roaches.
Her connection died. He dropped to Firefox and reloaded Google, and it was down. He hit reload and hit reload and hit reload, but it didn't come up. He closed his eyes and listened to Van scratch his legs, and then heard Van type a little.
They're back up, he said.
Felix whooshed out of breath. He sent the message to the news group, one that he'd run through 5 drafts before settling on.
Take care of the place, okay? We'll be back someday.
Everyone was going except Sario. Sario wouldn't leave. He came down to see them off, though. The sysadmins gathered in the lobby, and Felix made the safety door go up, and the light rushed in. Sario stuck out his hand.
Good luck, he said.
You too, Felix said. He had a firm grip, Sario, stronger than he had any right to be.
Maybe you were right, he said.
Maybe, he said.
You going to pull the plug?
Sario looked up at the drop ceiling, seeming to peer through the reinforced floors at the humming racks above.
Who knows, he said at last.
Vans scratched, and a flurry of white motes danced in the sunlight.
Let's go find you a pharmacy, Felix said.
He walked to the door, and the other sysadmins followed. They waited for the interior doors to close behind them, and then Felix opened the exterior doors. The air smelled and tasted like mown grass, like the first drops of rain, like the lake and the sky. Like the outdoors and the world. An old friend not heard from in an eternity.
Bye, Felix, the other sysadmin said.
They were drifting away while he stood transfixed at the top of the short concrete staircase. The light hurt his eyes and made them water.
I think there's a Shopper's Drug Mart on King Street, he said to Van.
We'll throw a brick through the window and get you some cortisone, okay?
You're the Prime Minister, Van said. Lead on.
They didn't see a single soul on the 15-minute walk. There wasn't a single sound except for some bird noises and some distant groans and the wind and the electric cables overhead. It was like walking on the surface of the moon.
Bet they have chocolate bars at the Shoppers, Van said.
Felix's stomach lurched. Food. Wow, he said, around a mouthful of saliva. They walked past a little hatchback, and in the front seat was the dried body of a woman holding the dried body of a baby, and his mouth filled with sour bile, even though the smell was faint through the rolled-up windows. He hadn't thought of Kelly or 2.0 in days. He dropped to his knees and retched again. Out here in the real world, his family was dead. Everyone he knew was dead. He just wanted to lie down on the sidewalk and wait to die, too.
Van's rough hands slipped under his armpits and hauled weakly at him.
Not now, he said. Once we're safe inside somewhere and we've eaten something, then and then you can do this, but not now. Understand me, Felix? Not fucking now.
The profanity got through to him. He got to his feet. His knees were trembling.
Just a block more, Van said,
and slipped Felix's arm around his shoulders and led him along.
Thank you, Van. I'm sorry. No sweat, he said. You need a shower. Bad. No offense.
None taken. The shoppers had a metal security gate, but it had been torn away from the front windows, which had been rudely smashed. Felix and Van squeezed through the gap and stepped into the dim drugstore. A few of the displays were knocked over, but other than that, it looked okay. By the cash registers, Felix spotted the racks of candy bars at the same instant that Van saw them, and they hurried over and grabbed a handful each, stuffing their faces.
You two eat like pigs.
They both whirled at the sound of the woman's voice. She was holding a fire axe that was nearly as big as she was. She wore a lab coat and comfortable shoes.
You take what you need and go, okay? No sense in there being any trouble.
Her chin was pointy and her eyes were sharp. She looked to be in her 40s. She looked nothing like Kelly, which was good, because Felix felt like running and giving her a hug as it was. Another person alive. Are you a doctor? Felix said. She was wearing scrubs under the coat, he saw.
You going to go?
She brandished the axe. Felix held up his hands. Seriously, are you a doctor? A pharmacist?
I used to be a RN 10 years ago. I'm mostly a web designer.
You're shitting me, Felix said.
Haven't you ever met a girl who knew about computers?
Actually, a friend of mine who runs Google's data center is a girl. A woman, I mean.
You're shitting me, she said. A woman ran Google's data center?
Runs, Felix said. It's still online.
NFW, she said.
She let the axe lower. Way. Have you got any cortisone cream? I can tell you the story. My name's Felix, and this is Van, who needs any antihistamines you can spare.
I can spare? Felix, old pal, I have enough dope here to last 100 years. This stuff's going to expire long before it runs out. But are you telling me that the net's still up?
It's still up, he said. Kind of. That's what we've been doing all week, keeping it online. It might not last much longer, though.
No, she said. I don't suppose it would.
She set the axe down.
Have you got anything to trade? I don't need much, but I've been trying to keep my spirits up by trading with the neighbors. It's like playing civilization.
You have neighbors?
At least 10, she said. The people in the restaurant across the way make a pretty good soup, even if most of the veg is canned. They cleaned me out of Sterno, though.
You've got neighbors and you trade with them?
Well, nominally. It'd be pretty lonely without them. I've taken care of whatever sniffles I could. Set a bone, broken wrist. Listen, do you want some Wonder Bread and peanut butter? I have a ton of it. Your friend looks like he could use a meal.
Yes, please, Van said. We don't have anything to trade, but we're both committed workaholics looking to learn a trade. Could you use some assistance?
Not really.
She spun her axe on its head.
But I wouldn't mind some company.
They ate the sandwiches and then some soup. The restaurant people brought it over and made their manners at them, though Felix saw their noses wrinkle up and ascertained that there was working plumbing in the back room. Van went in to take a sponge bath, and then he followed.
None of us know what to do, the woman said.
Her name was Rosa, and she had found them a bottle of wine and some disposable plastic cups from the housewares aisle.
I thought we'd have helicopters or tanks or even looters, but it's just quiet.
You seem to have kept pretty quiet yourself, Felix said.
Didn't want to attract the wrong kind of attention.
You ever think that maybe there's a lot of people out there doing the same thing? Maybe if we all get together, we'll come up with something to do.
Or maybe they'll cut our throats, she said.
Van nodded. She's got a point.
Felix was on his feet.
No way. We can't think like that. Lady, we're at a critical juncture here. We can go down through negligence, dwindling away in our hiding holes, or we can try to build something better.
Better?
She made a rude noise. Okay, not better. Something, though. Building something new is better than letting it dwindle away. Christ, what are you going to do when you've read all the magazines and eaten all the potato chips here?
Rosa shook her head. Pretty talk, she said. But what the hell are we going to do anyway?
Something, Felix said. We're going to do something. Something is better than nothing. We're going to take this patch of the world where people are talking to each other, and we're going to expand it. We're going to find everyone we can, and we're going to take care of them, and they're going to take care of us. We'll probably fuck it up. We'll probably fail. I'd rather fail than give up, though.
Van laughed.
Felix, you are crazier than Serio, you know that?
We're going to go and drag him out first thing tomorrow. He's going to be a part of this, too. Everyone will. Screw the end of the world. The world doesn't end. Humans aren't the kind of things that have endings.
Rosa shook her head, but she was smiling a little now.
And you'll be what, the Pope Emperor of the world?
He prefers Prime Minister,
Van said in a stagey whisper.
The antihistamines had worked miracles on his skin, and it had faded from angry red to a fine pink.
You want to be Minister of Health, Rosa? He said.
Boys, she said. Playing games. How about this? I'll help out however I can, provided you never ask me to call you Prime Minister and you never call me the Minister of Health.
It's a deal, he said.
Van refilled their glasses, upending the wine bottle to get the last few drops out.
They raised their glasses.
To the world, Felix said.
To humanity.
He thought hard.
To rebuilding.
To anything,
Van said.
To anything, Felix said.
To everything.
To everything, Rosa said.
They drank. The next day, they started to rebuild. And months later, they started over again, when disagreements drove apart the fragile little group they'd pulled together. And a year after that, they started over again. And 5 years later, they started again. Felix dug ditches and salvaged cans and buried the dead. He planted and harvested. He fixed some cars and learned to make biodiesel. Finally, he fetched up in a data center for a little government. Little governments came and went, but this one was smart enough to want to keep records and needed someone to keep everything running, and Van went with him. They spent a lot of time in chat rooms, and sometimes they happened upon old friends from the strange time they'd spent running the distributed republic of cyberspace, geeks who insisted on calling him PM, though no one in the real world ever called him that anymore. It wasn't a good life most of the time. Felix's wounds never healed, and neither did most other people's. There were lingering sicknesses and sudden ones. Tragedy on tragedy. But Felix liked his data center. There, in the humming of the racks, he never felt like it was the first days of a better nation. But he never felt like it was the last days of one either.
Go to bed, Felix.
Soon, Kong. Soon. Almost got this backup running.
You're a junkie, dude.
Look who's talking. He reloaded the Google homepage. Queen Kong had had it online for a couple years now. The O's in Google changed all the time, whenever she got the urge. Today there were little cartoon globes, one smiling, the other frowning. He looked at it for a long time and dropped back into a terminal to check his backup. It was running clean for a change. The little government's records were safe.
Okay, night-night.
Take care.
Van waved at him as he creaked to the door, stretching out his back with a long series of pops.
Sleep well, boss, he said.
Don't stick around here all night again, Felix said. You need your sleep, too.
You're too good to us grunts, Van said, and went back to typing.
Felix went to the door and walked out into the night.
Behind him, the biodiesel generator hummed and made its acrid fumes. The harvest moon was up, which he loved. Tomorrow he'd go back and fix another computer and fight off entropy again. And why not? It was what he did. He was a Sysadmin.